Susan?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Unfortunately, once again, I'm going to ask for a moment of silence for the two lives lost and the many wounded and lives changed forever in Santa Clara, California, last week. Thank you. Is our high school government representative here?
Good evening. My name is Christian Lamanti, and I'm JFK's representative to the Board of Ed. I'm sure you guys know that. So with the beginning of the second quarter of JFK, students are finding a fresh start with reinvigorated drive. Despite a tough loss on Friday against Massapequa, the Hawks boys volleyball team have enjoyed a record for this season of 16 wins and 2 losses, being named conference champions and Nassau County finalists. Also on Friday, November 17th, the class of 2020 hosted the annual POB Idol, a 3-round singing competition modeled after American Idol, the hit TV show. Some students even performed original songs, with many accompanied with live instrumentation. In addition to hearing 10 students compete to be named the POB Idol by audience vote, senior superlatives were also announced. Also on Friday, a group of 6 students were chosen to attend the Erase Racism Conference, a conference of students from schools throughout Long Island dedicated to discussion of how challenges of equity, diversity, and inclusion can be addressed in an educational setting. Going a step further, students created action plans to enact social change in issues they identified in their school communities. Business students traveled to Adelphi to compete in a competition of schools from throughout the tri-state area to brainstorm a campaign against distracted driving with representatives from GEICO. Looking forward, the POB's DECA chapter will compete in the Nassau County Regional Competition on December 8th. The Drama Cadets production of Our Town will run from Thursday, November 21st through Saturday, November 23rd. And the winter sports season actually began today. So thanks and good night.
Thank you. Board announcements? Lauren?
Just wanted to remind everyone that tomorrow is the high school is Engineering Awareness Night. So bring your young ones. I know there's no school tomorrow. Something to do tomorrow night. It's a fun night and a great time to go see what those robots can really do.
Thank you. I attended, along with some other people, SEPTA's night out last week. I'd like to congratulate SEPTA on such a fun and hopefully financially rewarding night. The food and conversation were great. Congratulations to the well-deserved SEPTA award winner, Samantha Gutstein. There were a great selection of vendors. Of course, I shopped. As always, there were numerous and wonderful raffle prizes. I won too. I did. For my grandchildren, a wonderful time was had by all, so thank you. Anything else? Okay, superintendent announcements.
Nothing new. I just want to encourage everyone to attend Our Town, and I know Parent University is coming up soon. What date is it?
December 3rd.
So I know there's a lot that goes into Parent University. Lori and her team work so hard, and, we don't always get a full enrollment. So I just want to give you early warning to 50. Okay, great, because it's really worth listening. Okay, that's it.
I also just wanted to show everybody, our last board meeting was Board Appreciation Day, and we received this from POB Middle School's child care, and it's just lovely, so I wanted to share it with everybody.
So we should hang it
put
up.
It up there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They do such good work there.
Yeah. Now we have a retirement.
Yes, we do. If I can ask Allison Clark to come up to the microphone to recognize Ms. Deborah Lakine on her occasion of her retirement.
And I'm going to ask Debbie to join me. In my comments last June for our retiring teachers, I connected to the book Mosaic of Thought by Ellen Oliver Keane and Susan Zimmerman. I'm going back to those same words because they were my thoughts for Debbie as we honored her at our June retirement party, and I want to share them again tonight. Keane and Zimmerman wrote about the mosaic each of us creates as we read. A mosaic constructed of diverse pieces, each integral to the whole, each essential to the texture of learning. Debbie, you have created your piece of art in POB after many years of service, creating a special place for our youngest of learners. You have provided a mosaic of opportunities as children began their journey in elementary school, helping to develop readers, writers, mathematicians, and scientists. But even more critical was how you helped them to be a friend, listener, turn-taker, and decision-maker as your 4- and 5-year-olds explored the world around them. You've advocated making sure our youngest learners got the strongest kindergarten experience possible and supported parents as they were helping their babies grow up. You've touched the lives of about 600 children, I think, through your 30 years, right? Correct? In education. And although you've spent the past 3 months over at Pasadena, we were waiting for you to come back to Stratford, we really did miss you at the building. And I am really honored to be able to speak on your behalf tonight, and we are all going to miss you tremendously.
Thank you so much. I just want to mention that out of those 600 children, two of them were board member children that I had the honor of being their teachers. And I just wanted to say thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity and the experience to be in Playville Page School District. It's been 30 years of wonderful experiences and meeting so many people living here and teaching here. And it will be something that will always be a part of me. So thank you so very much.
Debbie and I...
There you go.
See, that's my view. Debbie and I met when my daughter was in kindergarten, and she was the XR teacher. And while my daughter wasn't necessarily lucky enough to have her, she still spent some time with her. And so we go way back, and my daughter still remembers both of her kindergarten teachers. So we're going to miss you.
Aw, thank you so much.
Congratulations, Debbie, and thank you, Dr. Clark.
And if anybody's looking to adopt an animal or rescue one,
just call Debbie.
Call Debbie.
Okay, we're now going to go to new course proposals. Well,
that's okay, we're good. So this is a great opportunity to look at what we have in store next year for our students. And I hope you find, after this presentation is over, the incredible amount of work and data that our instructional leaders collect, consider, in concert with their teachers. So many of the courses that have revisions are done because teachers have told the administrators, you know, students need more of this. So you will see that in some of these recommended proposals. And in the new courses, it just shows that these departments are alive and well and looking to constantly improve and be ahead of what's next as opposed to acting reactively. So I'm going to call up our newest member of the administrative team, Mr. Mike Farrell, who is also the chairperson of the business department. Yes, the mouse there. Great.
Thank you.
I'll just shuffle. Good evening. Thank you to the board and to the business department for being so supportive and welcoming in my new role. The first course we're going to discuss tonight is Advanced Computer Concepts and Applications, Microsoft Excel. This is a new course proposal, and this is been generated due to feedback from parents, students, and alumni. The feedback we've gotten is that when our students do go to college, they're using Excel extensively. And we all know that Excel is used throughout corporate America and the business world on a regular basis. So this is in response to that request. This is for grades 11 and 12. It is a half credit. It is a semester or alternate day for a year. And the big takeaway here is I believe this would meet the board's goal of helping our students become better and getting them career ready. And this ends in a certification exam where our students would be Microsoft Office specialists in Excel. So another new proposed course is Trial Advocacy. Again, new course for grades 10 through 12. It is a half credit, and it would be either a semester or all day, alternate day for a year. And one of the big takeaways right off the bat here is that you'll see is it's designed to meet the speaking graduation requirement for our students, which we think is critically important. So the idea for this course is we want it to be dynamic. We want students to have hands-on thinking and be able to think on their feet and use critical thinking skills and teach them a variety of topics, everything from cross-examination, direct examination, to making opening and closing statements, including a wide variety of other topics. The next proposed course is actually a modification to a course, and that is our career internship and work experience program. This is for grades 10 through 12, and the modifications are as follows. First off, we've expanded the time frame of this. It was a semester, now it is full year, and the rationale for that is we want our students to have more time to complete their required hours. So with that being said, this course gives our students hands-on real-world experience in a non-traditional setting in the corporate field. So for the internship portion of the class, the hours have been increased from 50 hours to 54 hours for a half credit, and from 100 hours to 108 hours for a full credit. And again, that is a modification, and the reason is that now that aligns to New York State standards. The work experience portion of the course, so that you'll see that there are more hours there. It's 150 hours for a half credit and 300 hours for a full credit. And the big difference here is that is actually a paid experience for our students where they will receive a paycheck for their work, that'll be a great experience, and we feel that goes back to helping them become career ready for the real world.
And Mr. Farrell, I just want to interject there. And there has been tremendous work done by two members of the business department working with New York State, applying for our program to be accepted in an approved program for CTE credit. And this can help so many different types of students in addition to exploring internships and possible careers. Our Twilight students, students who struggle to have enough credits and perhaps work over the summer when they're aligned with one of our teachers here, they would be awarded high school credit. So kudos to your department, teachers who've really done a lot of work to get New York State to approve this program.
And finally this evening, the new course proposed is Virtual Enterprise 2. This is a continuation of Virtual Enterprise, or VE1, if this goes through. And this is for grade 12. It's being proposed as a full year course. And
a full credit for the high school portion of this course, but it also is being proposed to be a college-level credit course where students can earn 3 credits through an association with LIU Post. And the idea here is that we want our students to be able to grow with the Virtual Enterprise Program and be able to take on different and larger roles within the organization to get vast experience and become leaders and mentors for the current students in Virtual Enterprise 2. This would be a co-seated course, so it would run simultaneously with Virtual Enterprise. Thank you.
Questions?
Susan?
Hi. Thank you for the proposals. I have 3 questions. On the first one, for the Microsoft Excel, students are using, they're taking home Chromebooks. I know there's a cart in the classroom, since that would be a PC with traditional software support. So homework would be, so they can't do the homework on Chrome, but it could only be done in school, so there would be no homework, or would there have to be homework that's done on somebody who has the software at home?
So I think that would be done through the curriculum writing portion of getting this ready. But as far as the in-school...
But you would have to have the software. You would have to have a PC at home with the software. The Chromebook can't support it. Chromebook can't support Microsoft. It's a Google Doc. It's a spreadsheet, and it's not the same.
Can't you get to all the Microsoft applications through Office 365?
Like you have to own it. You have to own the software.
We want to ask Dr. Wiley.
Yeah, oh. So Microsoft 365, the cloud-based version of Microsoft, which has all the Microsoft Word, Excel, PowerPoint, is accessible through the Chrome web browser.
Yeah. Okay.
Accessible and usable on our
Chrome. And it won't default to Sheets?
No.
No. No. Okay.
Microsoft Excel
on a Mac,
and
it works.
Okay.
You could, convert back and forth if need be, but they are all fully compatible on our devices over the Chrome web browser.
Sorry, did you say something to me? Did you say something?
No.
Okay.
So I think you could look into it and make sure.
Okay. I had 2 other questions. With the internship program, do you have to sign up for that, or is that open to all students, 10 through 12? Does it have to be part of your... class schedule?
It is something you would have to sign up for, but it would be open to all students.
So it doesn't have to go into a class slot in your schedule?
Correct.
Okay. And would you be helping the students with resume and career coaching as well? Because I didn't see that on the slide.
No, and also the department, the 2 teachers who are currently teaching a section of it now have done tremendous work this year with our Chamber of Commerce to really set up some interesting and fruitful internships for our students.
Awesome. That's great. Is there a fee now for VE1? Or is, because I saw we had like $290 on VE2.
That's because it's LIU. You'll get credit for it.
But does VE1?
I don't know offhand.
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you, Lori.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lori.
Thank you, Lori, for being on.
Any other questions?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The course you're offering, trial advocacy, I think today, in today's whatever is going on in our country and world, is a marvelous course for kids to see and to be able to understand exactly what's happening and how to apply certain skills to it. And I just, this is great to me. Like
thank,
it. Maybe
thank
I'll
you.
Take it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
First.
And we'll bring up Ms. Lagatuda to talk about the math revision.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Wait, I'm getting it for you, Seth.
Good evening. So the revision that we are proposing actually stemmed from a concern brought up by Susan a few months ago. I discussed with the department the concern that was raised. So just to backtrack, there was a concern that if students left Algebra 2 and chose not to go on to pre-calculus, what other trigonometry would they be exposed to? So our Intro to College Algebra course is in place for students who choose not to move on to pre-calculus, although many of our students do move on to pre-calculus. However, we in the department agree that there was a little hole that could be plugged there. So we are proposing a revision to our Intro to College Algebra course where we incorporate additional trigonometry beyond the Algebra 2 curriculum. Any questions?
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, we'll bring up Mr. Braco.
So the course that's being proposed is Physical Education 9 and 10. This is due to some concerns that are currently going on in our scheduling process with only having PE 9 and PE 10 as two separate subjects. So by combining the two, it would create more flexibility and more latitude within our scheduling at the high school level. Currently, 11th and 12th grade are combined in lifetime sports, so this would be a similar aspect of it as well.
Questions?
No. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Joe. And we'll bring up Ms. Barry.
Good evening. Last year, we started a new course called LEAPS, which was designed for those students that were looking to be able to take all of our AP courses over their time in high school. And we've had a very successful year with that cohort of students. This year, they're taking the AP Environmental Science in May and the Living Environment Regents in June. The next progression with that cohort would be to move to we're going to call it CHAP, which would be Chemistry Honors and AP. So they would take the AP exam in May and the Chemistry Regents in June. This group of students have never had exposure to chemistry before, so it would be a double period every day course. And this would provide them an opportunity to then take the physics in 11th grade, AP physics in 11th grade, and then as seniors, they can take AP Physics C, AP Bio, and be able to graduate with a full cohort of all of our AP courses. That's it.
Susan? I understand the need if you're in the LEAPS program. Do we have any data regarding LEAPS now, how the students are faring? Have there been any checkpoints? My concern also is that a double period in chemistry would mean that we're taking away probably a lunch somewhere because these students are not going to be not taking something else. I know we have the 10 periods, but one of the reasons we're putting the 10 periods was for a break, if possible. Mm-hmm. I still feel it's very fast, especially chemistry.
It's an intense course. Absolutely. They would not necessarily lose lunch. It would be in their, we have students, it's their choice on how many electives. We do encourage them very strongly to take the lunch period. The reason that the double period every day would be needed would be because they haven't had the exposure to the chemistry. We have been keeping really close tabs on the current cohort of students. They are unbelievable. They are very hardworking. Their scores on their summative assessments have been outstanding. It's the nature of that scholar. They are just pushing the envelope, and they're really pulling a lot of the current event pieces together, which is real focus on the AP environmental curriculum.
Okay. And it does open up. A lot of these students wanted to take other AP sciences, so they can get to AP physics and take AP biology if they've taken AP chemistry, because a lot of the AP bio is incumbent on them knowing and having great facility with the chemistry. So it gets them to those different lanes.
I get the sequencing and the flow. I'm concerned about the
social
emotional. It's 10th grade. Mm-hmm. It's a lot. You have PSATs. That's my concern.
Sure.
We're pushing, and we see a lot of other things happening in this world, and I just want to make sure kids are still kids, and there's a part.
Totally agree. This is also very often those students that do double up as juniors and take the AP Bio and the physics. or they'll take the AP Physics and the Chemistry. So we do see them doubling up as juniors and as seniors. And again, it does put an added stress. So hopefully by us creating this opportunity for them, it may ease them off in that junior year, which is also a very intense year as well.
Yeah, I want to make sure we watch it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you really basically had to profile the student because you don't have self-selection in it also.
Right. Absolutely.
So that you are looking for that exceptionally high achiever who's doing something. You know, it's like akin to taking how many AP courses are you going to be taking and things like that.
Right.
And there are certain students who can handle it and certain students who can't. Mm-hmm. And I think that your profile is probably going to be pretty perfect on this one.
Thank you. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll bring up Ms. Carnesi to discuss the changes to some of the social studies courses.
Okay. Good evening. We are excited about these two changes. They're our final phase of our alignment to the secondary social studies program with the New York State Social Studies Framework. So we are looking to eliminate Economics 2 and replace that with a revised, fully aligned to the framework Economics 1 course that we'll be writing curriculum for this summer, which will be more project-based, performance-based, and in line with the relevant real-life applications of basic economic concepts. Economics 2 was a course that followed the New York State resource guide, the previous resource guide, but in essence really lacked a heterogeneous environment rich in performance-based experiences for kids. So now that we're realigning that ECHO 1 curriculum, ECHO 2 in essence has become not the direction and the experience we want for all of our students. So we're looking to eliminate Economics 2. Second, we currently offer crime law and American social issues as one of the senior selectives for the half credit in government that New York State requires us to expose students to in the senior year. In line with the major focus on media literacy, on civic engagement, if I could refer to the conference that a number of us attended a couple weeks ago, Reimagining Readiness, hosted by Roger Tillis, Leon Botstein, who is the president of BARD, spoke extensively about the future of social studies education and the need, the critical need, for courses that increase students' understanding and civic engagement and create a national understanding identity of what it means to be an American in a diverse society. So we're extremely encouraged and excited about creating a course that would have us eliminate crime law and American social issues and create a comprehensive contemporary social issues course, which would begin with a substantial unit on the creation of an American identity historically, constitutional concepts, foundations, belief structures seminal to perpetuating democracy, and then a very detailed study of contemporary social issues with major attention on civic engagement and media literacy.
Wow.
That's Maria.
Questions?
Yes.
I think we're all excited about that.
Yes.
So thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your support. We're excited for the final phase of the framework alignment. Thank you.
Yep. Good work. And then we'll bring up our world language chairperson, Mr. Riviera. Thank you.
Thank you. Buonasera, buonasera. It's a tough act to follow.
Yes.
I'm very excited to talk about our college ASL class, which is our ASL 4. The class brings our ASL program up to the same level as we have for Italian and Spanish, where the kids can earn college credit, up to 6 credits for the course of the year. They're more exposed to ASL culture, and they delve deeper into the language of American Sign Language. and to follow our ASL. We really have a robust Chinese program, and I'm very excited that many of our students want to see an honors component to our class. So that hence the reason why I would like a revision for the Chinese 2H and 3H. And we're looking to offer the honors credit by an honors by achievement approach, where students will engage in project-based assessments where they can show their proficiency and especially their ability to communicate in Chinese. And the Chinese 4 and 4H, which was our continuation. It's our new course because we need it. We want our students taking Chinese 4 and 4H. And again, it's an honors by achievement approach, where the students desiring honors credit will engage in project-based assessments. And hopefully, if we can install that program, we'll pave our way for our AP program, our AP class for next year, for the following year.
Any questions?
Thank you.
It took many, many years to get us here and to recognize really what's going to be the language of the future. And so I just want to say thank you.
Thank you very much. And I'd like to thank my teachers that are really pushing forward in our community very much. Thank you so much. Shishini.
Thank you.
That was the first one.
Was the first one.
Okay. Thank you all very much.
Wow, well, there are a lot of exciting new or tweaked offerings, so thank you very much.
Yeah. I just want to say how proud I am of our educational community, mm-hmm. because when you see the course offerings for next year and how it is formed right into what our country is going through, there are a lot of states in this United States that won't recognize we're bringing our children into, starting with when we talked about our journalism, being able to understand how to interpret what's real and how to really see the facts as the facts are, and then going into our trial advocacy, and then going into, what was the last one that I was so excited I was going to go to?
Contemporary social.
No, Chinese. Whatever we're doing right. And I'm just so proud of everybody in this community, and especially to take on these real hot topics and to teach our children, because they're the future. They're our voices, what's right and what's wrong, and how to be good citizens. So thank you all. Ka-ching.
Thank you. We're going to go to our next report, our mental health update.
So I'm going to call up our mental health team. And, you know, Susan, I'm really glad you brought up the point, are we watching out for our kids? Because really, the next iteration of education in America has to be about mental health. And New York State has done a mandate, and we are not here at POB just doing it by compliance. So I hope at the end of this presentation, you'll see 2 years' worth of work that really has addressed all aspects of mental health and what we will continue to do. But for those of you in the audience, I highly recommend you take a look at this presentation, because in there are embedded links to the various trainings that our staff and our administrators have led and are engaged in that you can also benefit from, because they're rife with a ton of resources. Because as you'll hear tonight, 1 in 6 Americans have a mental illness, and that affects the entire family and friends. So there are resources embedded in this for your own use. So I'll bring you all up. Dolores Espinoza, Lori Lynn, and Jen Lott.
Do we want me to shut the light or not?
Yeah, shut the light.
Good evening, everyone. I want to say that I'm very thankful for the segue that you just gave us, Ginger, that this is really important work we're doing here, and we're really proud to be in a community that finds it to be so important, and with the support of the Board of Ed and our community and our teachers, we're starting to make moves in being able to support the mental health and wellness of our students and our staff. So to start out with some sobering facts, you know, as Mary just mentioned, there is 1 in 6 U.S. Youth aged 6 to 17 experience a mental health disorder each year, and as well as 1 in 5 of us in this room. And if it's not one of us, it's one of our children, our parents, our siblings. In September of this year, our risk assessments, which we do, our suicide or high-risk student assessments, increased from 4 last September to 14 this September. And in October, there was an increase from 15 to 23 risk assessments. Some of that has to do with some of the work that we've done in better identifying students who are at need. But we really believe that this is, you know, we're in a mental health crisis. And what we're seeing are children who are really needing the support of our mental health professionals. As you may already know, the second leading cause of death in teens is suicide, and 80% of our mental health disorders begin in childhood. Students with mental health disorders face frequent discipline and school failure, and there's, you know, actually that key between mental health and school safety. That being said, there's extensive research that tells us that good, solid social-emotional learning and mental health support is essential for our students on many levels. We have an urgent need to be able to identify the signs and of conditions early on and for us to decrease the stigma that goes along with mental health issues so that people aren't fearful of getting help, and so that they know how to get the help that they need. Educating teachers and administrators, which is the work that we've really begun to do now, is essential in helping us to support students and get them the support that they need. Either one of you want to add anything to that? Okay. So what we're doing here at POB, I want to thank, again, the Board of Ed and our community for supporting the increased staff that we've been able to add in the last few years. We have the new mental health interventionist. We'll talk a little bit about her role currently. We had the new elementary guidance counselor and an additional behavior specialist that has really helped us to support behavioral needs throughout the district. Our mental health interventionist is available for flexible hours. She's doing some work with Jen, where she's working monthly to look at the attendance of students in our community, because we know that often poor attendance is associated with school avoidance and, in turn, also mental health issues. So she's monitoring students who have in excess, for example, in September of 5 absences, and having conversations with the schools that the students attend to see what kinds of supports or exploration we've done of the circumstances that are leading to that. She's been able to begin to lead some parent workshops and design some parent workshops and training around school refusal and school avoidance, because often that has to do with anxiety conditions. We also are in the process, we've had one meeting of a group from our school district of our mental health professionals on kind of tackling school avoidance, looking at best practices, trying to decide who should be involved in those components, and utilizing our behavior specialists to work on the possibility of doing behavior intervention plans for students who are really struggling to get to school from the home component. Gina has also worked really hard with connecting families to outside resources. That's one of our biggest hurdles. You know, once we're able to get students the support and kind of connect them for the families to be able to find the support that they need outside. She's assisting our mental health professionals and is school administrators in conducting home visits. She's assisting in those risk assessments. When our staff has to do a risk assessment, often it takes them away from the work that they're scheduled to do for that whole day. So she will come over and kind of hand off to her, and then she's able to follow up after that. She is supporting some staff and students in our Twilight program.
And the students' parents of the Twilight kids.
Mm-hmm. And she's been attending to the Go Guardian and Say Something alerts that happen while she's here, because she's on those flexible hours. She's often here until 5 or 6 o'clock, so she can follow up on those. And she is using our room to breathe at the high school to conduct many of her sessions. District-wide, we worked with David Heimowitz, who's the director of Nassau County Health Services, and he's provided mandatory staff development for all teachers throughout in approaches to mental wellness in the classrooms. He's done training for our psychologists, social workers, and school counselors on the mental wellness model in order for them to eventually turnkey that. We hosted a meet and greet last spring with all the Nassau County community providers so that our mental health staff could be begin those connections and be more comfortable with contacting them. And he's currently working with our mental health staff and school counselors to do a needs assessment to determine where to go next. What is it that we have? What is it that we need from this point? This year, we were also lucky enough to have Max Benalevi from the Well Life Network. Jen, do you want to just tell a little bit about that?
He came in to meet with the psychologists and social workers, not only on... He came in to meet with our psychologists and social workers to provide them additional training and enhanced training on suicide risk assessments. His philosophy is, yes, we know how to conduct the risk assessments, but what is the protocols and steps that we could put into place for the risk management? We gave them a lot of tools, strategies, pointed questions, and really helped support them in that area.
Our superintendent's conference day really centered around mental health and wellness, and this is where you have the hyperlinks available to you to visit both presentations, the one done by Dr. Blaise Aguirre from Harvard. He worked and gave our staff some statistics around mental health, and then he gave them a skill to take with them, a validation, just a check-in to make sure that our kids are okay. In addition, our administrative team was phenomenal. Jen and I worked on developing a destigmatizing mental health presentation, which is also available for you here. We are going to create a mental health landing page also for, we're working with Ben on that right now, so that families in the community could also have access to both of these presentations because they're so chock full of information. And our administrative staff worked diligently with each of their own departments and or schools in smaller groups and reviewed this whole presentation, which was pretty moving at parts because we really delved into how to know when there's difficulty, how to get support for difficulty, and some of the harder matters around mental health and mental illness. We all, at the end of that, took a pledge for trying to destigmatize mental health so that we're able to just kind of say, are you okay? And, you know, one of the things that Blaise Aguirre said to the staff is that we're all we're in a therapeutic environment right now. Not that we're expected to be counselors and teachers aren't expected to be counselors, but the kids in front of us today carry with them a lot of issues that we have to be able to see. Say, are you okay? And if they're not okay, know where to send them to get the support that they need. We have an amazing collaboration with Stony Brook University with their social competence lab, where they worked with our school aides that day on developing social relationships with students who are on the Asperger spectrum disorder and or students who are experiencing anxiety around making friendships in social environments. And then finally, within the department meetings, they worked on unpacking the social-emotional learning standards by department and school. This year was the second year of the administration of our social-emotional screener. We're still currently, Lori and Jen are really facilitating the data meetings with each school where we're looking at students who are elevated and highly elevated. For students that are determined to be at risk, parents are being notified and clinical interviews are being conducted by our mental health staff. To determine interventions. There was an issue brought to our attention about a concern regarding data privacy. I spent some time with Guy. We were able to reach out to Pearson, and they assure us that the breaches that happened with Ames Web last year were on a completely different platform than the platform where this information is kept, and they're making every effort to keep this data secure. Another issue that had come up to us was a concern about if families felt that they didn't want their children to be involved, how could they let us know that? And we're making sure that our letter next year says, reach out to us if you have that concern. We really believe this has been so helpful in helping us to ascertain students who just may need a little bit more support that we really would love for everybody to participate. But obviously, if a parent feels that strongly, their child doesn't have to participate.
I will say that overwhelmingly, the parents that have been contacted have been so grateful for the outreach and for the support.
Yeah.
The students as well.
And the students.
Yeah.
Making those connections with the counselor or having the opportunity to meet with that counselor or psychologist or social worker has really formed that connection and started that conversation that needed to be had that we might have not necessarily known about.
Some other actions, the middle school teachers were trained on SEL practices for the classroom through Leader and Me. In 2018, we began this work with POB Best Selves, taking care of students, taking care of you. The hiring of the elementary guidance counselor, and she's delivering SEL instruction to all students. Health teachers have added an additional 5 mental health lessons to their K-4 curriculum, and then the K-12 health teachers are working with new mental health standards to align their curricula and to find the gaps for other departments and PPS staff to kind of fill in. So we're all working very closely on that. As I mentioned, we have a collaboration with Stony Brook, where not only did they participate in Superintendent's Conference Day, there is at least one student in our district participating in their research program, which is supporting the social, emotional health and development of students who are on the Asperger spectrum and students who struggle with those kinds of connections. They are participating at Parent Academy, POB Well. They'll be doing lessons to facilitate helping parents to facilitate friendships. In addition, at Stony Brook, they currently offer workshops and clubs for facilitating social-emotional development, and we're looking at developing them here within our district for other communities around us to join. So kind of our next steps. We're at a point now where we really need to kind of bring everyone on board. So we're going to need to develop a team that includes all stakeholders. And when I say all stakeholders, that includes parents and students, community members, so that we really develop a common language around mental health, mental illness, and mental wellness, so that we're all speaking the same language and working together about what's important for our community. Continue trainings for PPS and guidance staff to facilitate that train-the-trainer model in that mental wellness component. We're in the process right now. You know, the work that we describe, it takes a lot out of even our mental health staff. You know, each week there's some kind of crisis where our psychologists and social workers and school counselors and our classroom teachers are involved in heavy-duty mental health issues. So Northwell and South Oaks have been collaborating with districts where they offer a number of concierge services. So we're starting to explore that with them. We'll be meeting in December with one of the representatives from Northwell to see which pieces might best fit our needs right now so that we can have some additional ongoing support here. Continued collaboration with Stony Brook. The summer curriculum writing will continue for mental health education. And as I mentioned before, we're hoping to develop that mental health landing page so that everyone can have access to the stuff that we're sharing. And this is just that whole concept of building a comprehensive district-wide MTSS plan, multi-tiered system of support. We have pieces everywhere in here. Now we have to bring our team together to kind of figure out where the gaps are and what else we need to fill. And this was probably in one of the videos that you'll watch if you get an opportunity to watch the presentations, one of the most powerful things that each one of us heard at some point or another and said, this has to be our mantra, is that we all add value to this process, and working together, we can make the most powerful difference. And that's it. Questions?
Really outstanding. Ginger?
Yeah, thank you very much. It was very comprehensive. I'd like to talk about elementary children because a lot of problems start when children are very, very young and there are warning signs and everything else. And SEL looks at it in a lot of different ways, but what are we doing? I know we added some extra classes and stuff, but do we train our faculty and do we talk to parents about knowing the warning signs that their child is really suffering? And some kids can put on that little bit of, I don't really care about anything, but we know how very much they're hurting deep down inside.
And I think that if we can get this under control in the elementary buildings, because seventh grade is a different animal altogether. I mean, these kids are going through everything in seventh grade, experimenting with everything, but I think it's the elementary kids that we really have to focus in on.
I couldn't agree more. I think, you know, one piece is the K through 4 curriculum that they're developing during to have the social-emotional lessons in it. The second piece is really watching that attendance component, and that's where we have Gina really involved. She's looking at any student in September who had more than 5 absences and having conversations about why. If it wasn't an illness, why are kids out? How can we, and she's been in touch with parents. She's been in touch with principals. The principals have been working very closely with us on this kind of conversation.
It's the child that's the loner that you really have to watch. That child, nobody else is playing, is sitting by themselves.
Agreed.
The kid who every group is working together, and they may be at a table, but they're really apart from the whole group. Mm-hmm. And I think that the attention and even building their emotional vocabulary so that they can express how they truly, truly feel. And a lot of these kids have secret lives. They go home at a very young age. They're by themselves. They've been physically and verbally abused from the time they walk in to the time they come to school. There's a lot of emotional problems going on at home. There's economic stress and everything else. And these little kids see and hear it. And they're too young to really share it with a lot of people. But I think we have to really focus a lot on the elementary
kids. We agree. And go ahead.
A lot of the work that Stephanie Zeidner is doing is helping students learn the language of identifying feelings and how to report those feelings and that it's okay to report those feelings. The start with hello is all about recognizing those students who are off by themselves and what, you know, being you know, what is a good neighbor, what is a good friend, and they embrace it, you know. But it really starts with the identification of their feelings, how to read facial expressions so they understand.
Asking you to write who they are.
Right.
You have children who can write 16 pages, and you have a kid who just sits there or look in a mirror, and who do you see? They don't even see themselves.
And a lot of the work that David has done with all of our K through 12 staff is those warning signs and what he calls and references the invisible backpack that kids bring to the classroom and all that trauma that they may be experiencing, mental illness that they may be coming to the table with, and knowing some of those signs, whether it be those internalizing factors where they're withdrawn and not belonging to a group, or that externalizing behaviors are they're exhibiting maladaptive behavior, and what is that communicating to us? So a lot
it's also very just want to say it's also very, very important that staff members communicate with each other.
Absolutely.
Because what you may see in one class somebody else might not see, but you might all be seeing the same thing, but nobody's fed it in to compile it to say this child is really dangerous.
So
the report was excellent.
One of the big things that you know, our destigmatizing really talked to was just asking if you're okay, and just not if that kid that looks a little bit like they're struggling, just ask if they're okay, and if you're not getting an answer that you're comfortable with, to seek the support that student needs. The next piece, too, with the development of the team is to bring parents in and community members in so that this language becomes a global language. We're all speaking the same language.
It's also good to have a go-to list in a classroom of people that kids can go to. They might not relate to the classroom teacher, but there are go-to people who absolutely are open to listen to what kids have to say.
Tara?
Hi.
Hi.
So thank you for recognizing and starting to work on the mental health crisis we are experiencing in this country. A lot of students who even just want to go speak to someone and get some help can't find a child psychologist to talk to, and it's a major issue. So some of them are going to have to rely, I guess, on us to give them the coping skills they need to get through the day in school. Thank you, Ginger, for raising the issue of the younger children, because if they don't have the foundation there, I feel like you're setting them up later to have greater issues. I think it would be great to see a stress on coping skills, interrelation between peers and adults, and monitoring and collaboration, as Ginger said, among the staff, because somebody might be expressing themselves one way in one situation and another way in another situation, or experiencing avoidant behaviors in certain circumstances. And if the communication isn't there, that could get lost somewhere. So I look forward to seeing some of these curriculum changes and writing into the curriculum the social-emotional learning, because I think that's a huge piece of what we can do to help these students to have the foundation they need for fifth grade when they're transitioning to middle school, and sixth grade when things kind of move from middle school / elementary to more of a junior high situation. So thank you.
Lauren?
So Ginger and Terry took most everything I was going to say, which is good because I'll save the time. Thank you so much. It hurts my heart that we even have to have this conversation, but thank you for all the work you did. I went about 2 years ago to one of the workshops, and I expressed and you guys hit so much of the points that they had mentioned even 2 years ago. And so I want to thank you, especially with the partnerships, because I think that really is so key that you get all the stakeholders together. And I think they even mentioned like bringing in the pediatricians and just everybody together, because everybody has their piece of the puzzle that can just help the situation. But again, I was thinking exactly the same thing, that these younger children, the ones that have to be in school, that don't have the choice to stay at home, and so maybe they're hiding out at the psychologist's office and doing like a, I'm just going to stop in, or maybe I'm going to pretend, you know, I'm not feeling so great, so I'm going to head down to the nurse. Yeah. Or, and if we keep track of how many times they do that, or how many times they leave the classroom to go to the bathroom, to just like avoidance. Because those kids have to be in school because maybe their parents are both working and they can't be at home. So just, you know, food for thought, and I'm going to think, like, do we have enough staff for the younger ones, for psychological, for down the road, because the psychologists or social workers feel that there is that round turn going in and out of their offices where they feel that they can't give enough time to those students. Just something to think about for our future, that they feel that their phone is constantly ringing, that they can't give that one-on-one time that's needed, not that we're a therapist's office, like constantly we are a school district, but that we're in a crisis right now, and what could we do to help these kids?
Anybody else? Susan?
I want to thank you. Mental health is something that is very close to my heart. And I agree with everything you're saying with the elementary school, but I would like to just point out that secondary school and what's going on in the college campuses right now, you'll see many schools are putting millions of dollars to their mental health. They're taking it out of the medical centers, and they're making mental health buildings where there's yoga, there's mindfulness, there's counselors, therapy dogs during midterm weeks, not allowing a certain amount of exams, things like that. I think we need to look at that, because that might be the first place that they're going to fail their first exam. You know, they came from our very successful district, and they're living by themselves with a stranger who snores, who keeps them up, whoever it is, or whatever it is. I didn't get into the pledge class I wanted to get into, and I just failed my first midterm. They don't know how to deal with it. They know how to deal with this. I pulled myself away from the drug crowd. I was able to be on my own. I can get myself through that. But we need to talk to the colleges. We have plenty. We already have the conversations with Adelphi and LIU. Maybe it's time we also talk to their mental health centers to see what they're seeing, what's coming in. So, again, this is great. I love your next steps. Please let us know what you need from those conversations. As I said, it is very near and dear. Thank you.
I think, as you can see, the board feels very passionately about mental health. So we thank you very much. Keep us abreast of everything that you are doing, and obviously come to us at budget time when when you need to.
Thank you.
But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, now we're going to go to calendar holidays 2020-2021. Dr. Lewis.
Yes, thank you. We adopted a calendar earlier this year for the 2021 school year and have had to revise it for a couple of reasons. The first important reason is the fact that the law, there was a law that was changed with regard to Election Day. Election Day in New York, even though we have the ability to vote for 10 days prior to Election Day, Governor Cuomo passed a law that requires all districts, all public, well, actually all employers, to give up to three hours off for voting. And that defines then what we can do during the day. So, for example, one of the concerns that I have this year is what happens when we have the on April 28th, when we have the elections for the Democratic primaries, because that law will apply at that point, and we do have school open. So knowing that we have to look at our calendar for 2021, the law was passed, we have to now have our schools closed on Election Day, not just closed for students, but closed for staff, because we cannot lose. We cannot have a half day missed. So we have revised the calendar. I am recommending a revision of the calendar to accommodate that change. So for next year, November 3rd, rather than the adopted calendar, which you have out there, the adopted calendar had us having November 3rd closed for students but open for the election day for staff, will now be closed for Election Day in 2021. In its place, I am recommending that the Friday, September 4th, that is the day, remember next year we have to bring staff in, staff and students in before Labor Day. The Friday before Labor Day, we will now be open for staff but still closed for students. So September 4th will be our conference day. So that will be a recommendation that I would make to the board. In addition, having heard some from the community, I am going to recommend a third superintendent's conference day, and that third superintendent's conference day will be on May 13th. That will be a day that will be open for with staff only, not students, on May 13th. So the recommendation that I'm going to make will actually May 13th, you might say, why May 13th? May 13th happens to be, for the 2021 calendar, a day that Eid will be celebrated. Now, as I've said in the past, this is for 2021. There will be, and in fact, the following year, I've already done the calendars for a couple of years in the future, there will be years where we will not be able to meet the 180 minimum school days or the 183 school days. And I would say to the community that the board has the right and the option to decide what holidays they will give on an annual basis. That just as we did last year, when we can accommodate all of the holidays, we definitely will. There are going to be years where you might not be able to meet the obligations of the contracts and the obligations for completing the number of days that will meet the state education requirements. So for next school year, what I would recommend, again, based on is what I'm going to call calendar C, which is some copies. It will be on the website.
that will, again, the change from the adopted will be for staff. Staff will be working the Friday, September 4th, and will not be working on November 3rd. So from a parent's perspective, the year is pretty much the same, except for May 13th. On May 13th, the children will not be in school, but staff will be. That's my recommendation.
Thank you. And we will vote on your recommendation under new business.
So May 13th is also, I just want to point out that on May 13th, and we have no ability to change that, May 13th is also a day when AP exams might be given. So for those students who are taking AP exams, that's not something that we can change. That, and we would have staff available to oversee that process. And that's why that day is a staff development day.
Thank you. Okay, now we're going to go to public participation. District Policy 1510.1 provides that persons wishing to make comments or raise questions shall, one, state their name and address, and two, indicate on whose behalf they are speaking if a non-resident. The policy prohibits public discussion on matters relating to staff and students at which their reputation, privacy, or rights to due process or those of others could in some way be violated. As a reminder, an audio recording of this meeting, including public participation, is being made and will be posted on the district website. Remarks are limited to 3 minutes. We thank you in advance for being respectful of other speakers, the Board of Education, and all staff members. The floor is now open.
Good evening. My name is Meredith Lewin. I live at 136 Orchard Street in Plainview. And I'm speaking, I guess, pretty much on behalf of myself, but also I'd like to say on behalf of the Firm Place Community Association, I'd like to thank you for including our request for the tree barrier as part of the sale. Recently, I don't know if you're aware, we got permission to adopt the parkland as part of the town's Adopt a Spot program. And I think that this will really enhance our park and make it a recreation location. One thing I was wondering, maybe you may not know the answer to this, but I'll ask you to start, otherwise I'll go to the town. In the middle of the parkland is the backflow for the school, and it was wrongly sited in the parkland. As part of the sale, will it be moved now over to the school? Now it's a private entity, will be owning the school. When it was town parkland and the school district owned the property, there was like a gentleman's agreement that it could stay there and they weren't going to move it. But now that the school district isn't owning the property anymore, I think that the backflow thing should be relocated back over near the school where it belongs. Does anyone know?
Do we know anything about this?
In the contract, there's no provision to move the backflow prevention device. It was never discussed.
I can't change it.
I don't know.
Are we sure? All right, I'll ask someone at the town. Maybe they know.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's the town's property, so we can't do it anyway. But
I thank you.
Follow up with the town. Sounds thank property. You.
I thank the board for the trees.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Nabil Makhta, and I am a freshman in POB JFK High School. And I would just like to say on behalf of the Muslim students of Plainview Old Bethpage School District, I would like to say thank you for giving us this holiday and recognizing our community. It really means a lot to us to celebrate with our families and not miss out on our holiday.
Thank you.
Hi, my name is Yad Kazi. I'm the 7th grade president, and I really appreciate this opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have somebody have a lozenge for Jody?
I'm okay. This is what happens when you ride the subway every day. You catch every germ that ever flew. Oh, it's gross.
Ms. Meltzer?
Good evening. Nina Meltzer, president of the PCT. We are here tonight to urge the board to settle our contract in a fair and respectful manner. We've spent months negotiating in an effort to work together and solve problems surrounding the issues and the board demands. This process has sometimes occurred without the traditional method of back and forth or give and take. Without details, we believe that many of the district or board demands have exhibited a lack of respect or understanding of the job that many of our members do. As I've stated in the past, our members work above and beyond their contractual day. Many of us are often spent shopping after school for things that we need for our classroom. We input grades. I'm sure you can find it somewhere detailed on Infinite Campus, how much time we spend at home when it's up. We participate in community events, PTA events. We visit kids when they have a sporting event. We answer emails, make plans, and grade after our day because there have been increased demands on the time within our day that don't allow us to do those things. Prep times get taken for meetings, and any other thing that can happen during the day usually does and demands additional time from us. I love the idea of having us be able to talk about some of the issues with our younger students and the mental health and who might be having a problem. I don't know where that day is going to come in our day, where that time comes. Increasingly, we are losing time. The time that we use to instruct, to plan, to meet with students, we instead are gathering data, writing reports, and all of those things. And many of those, and I can tell you, I know my special ed teachers, especially when IEP season is here all year round, those reports don't get written during the day. They're not ready for their CSE because they had that time given to them during the day. They're ready for those CSEs because they do the time and they do the work outside of their day. We urge the board to respect us and the time that we give for the professionals that we are. Many times we're talking here about mental health and about work feeling validated. We've had members that are asking the same thing. I've had communications with you, and I do believe that your hearts are in the right places. We have a lack of understanding as to what our responsibilities are and how to address these needs. We are growing tired and frustrated and angry that we cannot seem to come to some types of agreement with a contract that exhibits a fair amount of respect, money, time for the teachers. That's all I really came to say, and I would hope that we can get this done quickly. If I could have another minute on the calendar. Not having anything to do with the community issues, but in terms of switching the other days and election day, I don't know that we've had any opportunity to have any discussion about that. That calendar was adopted, and I don't know how having off next year for election day solves the problem for any of the other issues. If you're going to have that same issue in April, I think we need to find a way to address it. And I think that there's the opportunity that perhaps those laws will change.
Thank you.
You know, if the laws could change, then I think that the board could revisit it. But having lived through Election Day and having the number of requests for time off for Election Day, my recommendation to the board is that we close the school.
Just a quick minute. I'm Nassau County Legislator Ronnie Drucker. I just came tonight to commend the board for recognizing the Eid holidays as official on the official calendar of next year. I just think it's wonderful that you've recognized that. You know, as someone who's grown up in this community, I've lived here my entire life. Plainview wasn't always the way it is now. And I grew up in a town here that wasn't always so understanding and accepting of others, including myself. I'm Jewish, and I grew up in a neighborhood where it wasn't always easy celebrating our holidays. And it is now, and we are better for it. We are richer by the diversity that we have. And one of the benefits that I have experienced being on the legislature for the past 3 years is getting to experience the culture and the religion of the Muslim faith and celebrating their holidays. And I'm richer for it myself, and I just commend the board for being so understanding and acknowledging that the change in our community is something that we are better for. So thank you for doing that.
Thank you. Mr. Wolfner?
In reviewing the agenda, I see there's an item on the agenda for a representative to the BOCES, and I have done that in the past. And if asked, I'll be happy to serve again.
Well, we thought you were asked. We would love for you to do it again.
Yeah.
Well, we haven't voted on it, but you have been asked, and you've very graciously accepted once again.
And I want to invite any board members that want to come to the orientation meeting in December to join me. And then the bulk of the financial discussion will be on January the 6th. Is there a board meeting that day?
I could look.
If not, I invite the board members.
We do have a board meeting that night.
You can't come.
Sorry. But we feel very good that you will be representing us.
Yeah, but I won't be here.
Oh, that's true. Well, I guess we'll be all missing one board meeting.
There
one
we go.
BOCES meeting.
And in closing, I want to wish the board, all the members of the board and the administration a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Jacques. Okay, seeing no other speakers, public participation is closed. We appreciate and will consider your input. Thank you. Now we will, can I get a motion for routine business? Ginger, a second. Susan, any questions, hold separation, discussion? All those in favor of routine business? Thank you. Okay. 11.1 is approving Mr. Wolfner, who will be a BOCES budget representative. Ginger, second. Tara?
Thank you.
All those in favor? Thank you very much, Mr. Wolfner. That was unanimous. 11.2, adopt the revised 2020-2021 calendar C that Dr. Lewis recommended. Ginger, second. Lauren, questions? All those in favor? Thank you. The next item is the sale of Fern Place. Can I have a motion? Susan, second. Seth, before we vote, I just want to share with the community, and Mrs. Lewin, we thank you for thanking us. After much discussion, both in executive session as real estate items are discussed, and on the public floor where we listen to our community during public participation, we've been presented with a contract for the sale of Fern Place that we will vote on this evening. We would like to point out that included in that contract is that the district will continue to own the fields. We have an easement giving the district access to the fields at all times.
The easement gives the district and the public parking rights after 4 p.m. Monday through Friday and at all times on weekends and holidays. The restrictive covenant states that the property may only be used for a school, and the restrictive covenant states that there will be a minimum 5-foot buffer between the property and the adjacent westerly land with at least 5-foot tall trees or similar landscaping. We have really tried to the best of our ability to protect what is important to our community while doing what we believe is financially prudent for our taxpayers. We just want to remind people that the closing could take up to 12 months. And with that, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor of the sale of Fern Place? Thank you. And the last item of business is to approve field trips. Can I get a motion? Jody, second. Lauren, all those in favor? And can I have a motion to go into executive session for the purpose of discussing collective bargaining negotiations? Seth, second. Tara, all those in favor? Thank you very much. Drive home safely.